We also lift up the Kennedy family in our prayers today. They need our arms wrapped around them during this time. Well, good morning, Stetsonville Church family. I'm Keith Newberry, one of the elders here. And today we're going to do a road trip detour from our study in Mark. And I wanted to thank Dennis. We've been leading a study through Mark. Many of you may have known, I spent last week in Texas. I did a road trip down to Texas to see our daughter and our future son-in-law, and everything is big in Texas, whether it's my coffee cup. If you want to see a gas station with 50 to 100 gas pumps and more fun, check this site out. But everything is big in Texas, and the food is wonderful. I can, obviously you can see I've had wonderful food, but we had such a good time with visiting with our daughter. Just a different, and it was good to get away and recharge. And by recharge, I mean spend time in the Lord. So on the trip, on the road trip back, I thought, well, I listened to the sermon and was like, where am I going to go this week with a message? And this catchy title, Golden Calves Make Gourmet Burgers, you may thought that came from the food we were eating. Maybe it was the Texas Longhorn steers that we were seeing that were freshly created into barbecue, wonderful barbecue. But no, it was a book on church leadership by William Easom, titled Sacred Cows Make Gourmet Burgers. I'm not going to give you a synopsis of the book. I'm just saying, as I took time to reflect and study, there are 3 points I'll make from the book. Is Webster describes the sacred cow as one that's immune from criticism or attack. The term comes from the Hindu view of cows, i.e., or for example, sacred cows are more important than people. And for some, that could mean slowly starving to death while being surrounded by sacred cows. I don't know how I got to that thought, driving by all these Texas Longhorn, steers. But there were some points that I like to do study, and those who know me, you know, when I'm given challenging situations, I like to read, I like to study, and more importantly, I like to pray. So the other 2 points that were speaking to me is some church leaders are simply afraid of the unknown. And that's all of us. If you think about it, we're comfortable where we are. And the other point in this book that I was studying that spoke to me is some church leaders suffer, and I'm a quote, from the small church syndrome. So today I want to talk to you about something God has placed on my heart on this incredibly crazy drive back. I brought back a car that I hadn't seen in 5 years. I sold it. I brought it back 5 years later. And 1,500 miles, you know, didn't even do a real safety inspection on it and asked my wife. But we got back. The car was wonderful. God had provided us safe travel, even through the storms in Arkansas. But today I want to talk about the status quo, or the comfort zones we built. Maybe it's the same circle of friends or people like us. Maybe it's the same routines we follow each and every day. And sometimes it leads to the complacency we tolerate. For me, maybe it's I don't want to go to redneck days. I don't know if I fit in there. But guess what? Those people need Jesus too. So let's go to the next slide. But God has not called Stutzensville Chapel to survive. He has called this church to thrive. But God has not called Stutzensville Chapel to be passive. But God has called Stutzensville Chapel to be powerful. God has not called our church to fit in. He has called it to stand out. And yes, part of this message really came about reaching out proactively to some church members who were unsure about the future pastoral candidates we would bring forward to our church. So later today, I got a quick message. We will have time. We're going to give an update on the pastoral search. But this was weighing heavily on my heart on this trip back. I just couldn't, this whole week, I struggled with that. And I appreciate all the prayers for the pastoral search team, and we'll introduce them after the service. So please join me in opening prayer. Lord, I am grateful for the peace and comfort you provide, but I also desire to grow and to be used more fully for your service. Lord, I acknowledge my fear of stepping outside my comfort zone and ask for your strength and your courage to take me to the next step. Help me trust in your guidance to see that you have, to see your plan for my life, even when it is unfamiliar. I personally pray for boldness and obedience, knowing that you are with me even during the unknown. Amen. So I think it's only three scriptures today. So let's go to the next slide, Romans 12:2. And it is, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing, perfect will. So that's not just a personal command, that's a church-wide commission. So let's go to the next slide. I'll try and make a couple points. Point one is the danger of comfort or complacency. And one of the most subtle idols of the modern church is comfort. I like to be comfortable. I like the familiar things around me. But God is not calling us there. So in Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16, Jesus speaks to the church in Laodicea. I think I pronounced that correctly. Verse 15, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. That's pretty powerful. And verse 16, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. That's pretty troubling. I mean, that's pretty provoking things. So the Laodicean church wasn't in open rebellion. They weren't heretical. They were simply comfortable. They were comfortable. They were complacent. However, God says that made them sick. Sometimes when we're doing church stuff, attending on Sundays, running programs, part of committees, volunteering in all these different ways, we think we must be doing God's will. But busyness is not obedience. Let's go to the next slide. The early church in Acts wasn't known for its polished services or cozy routines. It was known for its boldness, unity, generosity, miracles, and sacrifice. Comfort wasn't their goal. Transformation was their goal. So let's go to the point. Jesus never upheld the status quo. So we went through this. I think I covered this in Good Friday service, but Matthew 9, verse 16 and 17, no one sews a patch of unshrunken cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. In verse 17, neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, and the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. What Jesus was saying is, I'm doing something new, and it cannot be contained in the old ways. When Jesus flipped the tables in the temple, when he healed on the Sabbath, which we've been studying in Mark, when he dined with sinners, he was doing more than performing acts of compassion. He was shaking the whole religious system. And we learned that actually through Easter as well. So if Jesus was to walk into our church today, would he find a movement that reflects his radical love, grace, and truth? Or would Jesus find repeating religious motions that have lost their power? Jesus did not die to make us safe. He died and rose again to make us dangerous to the gates of hell. Can we say amen to that? So first, point number three, the status quo weakens our witness. The world is not looking for a church that fits in or fits us where we are currently. The world is looking for a church that stands out with authenticity, holiness, and compassion, and is alive and has the demonstration of the Great Commission, which is winning hearts and minds for Jesus. We cannot afford to be a church that looks no different than the culture around us, chasing comfort, people like us, image and power. In Acts 17, Paul and Silas were described as men who turned the world upside down. Why? Because they did not preserve the status quo. They carried the kingdom of God into every city they entered. If the church blends in with the culture, we lose our saltiness. Think about that. If church blends in with the culture, we lose our saltiness. Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Our power lies in not in our popularity, but in our distinctiveness and our willingness to be set apart. So as I give this message today, I'm not saying discount the culture that brought this church to where it is. I'm saying let's build off that culture. Let's build off that. Let's take what is working and powerful in our church, and let's reach people who aren't here today, who aren't hearing the message. So we need to not only shepherd the existing flock, we need to reach people for Christ in our community. So I have to ask myself and my church family, if God can move mountains, am I moving with him, or am I being left behind? So point four, how do we break the status quo? Let me give you three practical ways to help us challenge the status quo. The first, return to prayer. And I know the days of that we had the prayers for the pastoral search committee, they're powerful. I can think about God bringing me to my knees, literally to my knees in prayer, to give the last message I did. It was truly humbling experience, but in the decisions we're making as a church to go to God in prayer and try and discern what God's plan is for us and to separate what I would like and for what God is calling us. So the early church was fueled by prayer, not just polite routine prayers, but desperate, dependent, Holy Spirit-led prayer. If we want God to move, we need to make room for him to do so. Point B, prioritize discipline over attendance. Church is not a performance. You can tell that because I'm up here. But it's a people or a family who are centered on Christ and want people to join us in this family. We are not called to make fans of Jesus. We are commanded to make followers of Jesus. If our churches are full on Sunday, but are shallow Monday through Friday, maybe something's wrong. Point C, step into risk and radical obedience. Isn't that scary? Radical obedience? That's, for me, a little bit terrifying. Faith that never risks is faith that never grows. Ask God what he is calling you to start. Or maybe it's ask God what he's calling you to stop. It may be uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable. It may disrupt the norm, but it awakens your soul. So my final point is a call to reformation. Church, we are in a desperate need of a fresh reformation, not in structure, but in spirit. And as I was driving kind of cross country and my mind's wandering all over and seeing beautiful country, I was left with this question that I kind of pondered a lot. Are we still circling our wagons? Or are we ready to pick up the armor of God, the breastplate of truth, and the sword of the Spirit to reach hearts and minds for Jesus? That just hit me on the drive. We cannot afford to maintain the status quo. The world is too broken. The need is too great. The time is now. We need to reach those in all the communities around us who do not currently have a church home or family. Yes, Maybe that means people in Weekly. Yes, maybe that means people in Birchwood. Maybe people in Harbor Springs, Alanson, Pelston, Cross Village, and even Bliss. It's time to set aside our biases and allow the Holy Spirit to take us to great things here at Stutz beyond our imagination. Beyond our imagination. People all around us need to have a personal relationship with Jesus and that the everlasting life that comes freely with confessing our sins and turning away from our sinful lives and accepting Jesus Lord as our Savior. This salvation choice can be made today. If you haven't yet made this choice, I invite you to discuss the next steps with any one of the church leaders. So in conclusion, I ask you today, are you comfortable in your faith? Is our church maintaining, or are we mobilizing? Are we still circling our wagons? Are we ready to put on this armor of God and use the sword of the Spirit to reach minds for Jesus? Are we echoing tradition, or are we hearing the fresh voice of God every day? Let's be a people, repeat after me, Lord, disrupt us. Lord, shake us. Lord, use us. Let's not settle for a church that's lukewarm, but one that's been lit with the holy fire. Amen. Join me in a closing prayer. Lord, I give you thanks for all who have served on the pastoral search team and have worked tirelessly to vet pastoral candidates and get the position posted. We know that you have a special candidate in store who can mobilize us to put on the armor of God and use the sword of the Spirit to reach hearts and minds for Jesus. We ask for your continued discernment and guidance on this team. Amen. Thank you.